Good morning. It's indeed a privilege and honor to be able to share God's words with you this morning. As Brother Joe Chen said, Pastor Bo Wang is traveling with his family and much needed vacation for him and his family. And I got the opportunity to share God's words with you this morning. Before I start my preaching, let's look to the Lord for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to come in your sanctuary to worship you. At this time, I pray that you quiet our heart and our mind so that we can focus on you and you alone. I pray that the speaker will truly speak the words that you want him to speak. Prepare our heart, our mind, so that we can be receptive to your teaching. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were born in this country, you are more accustomed to say, I love you, to your parents, friends, or siblings. However, if you were born in China or some other Southeast Asian countries, and especially if you are my generation, who has a little bit more gray hair on the side, we are more reserved and do not express love verbally as readily as the younger generations who sit in the front of the sanctuary. This morning, I would like to share with you what the scripture teaches us about love. First of all, we'll look at different types of love. And then spend most of the time at agape love. In the Greek language, which I know absolutely nothing, so I apologize to those brothers and sisters who know Greek, I'll probably make a fool of myself. There are four different words describe love: eros, storge, phileo, and agape. Because the Bible never used the word eros, so I'll skip that one and spend my time on the last three. Storge describes the love between parents and children. It also can describe the love between siblings. And I know some of you may not quite like your siblings. Sometimes it is called family love. In Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it uses the word philostorgos, which combines filio and storgos together. In English translation, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The third word to describe love is filio. Filio describe the same interests friends share or like. For example, our Pastor Bo Wang likes to play racquetball, and so does our brother Scott McKay. I did warn him, I'm going to mention his name. In reality, filio should really be translated into like, L-I-K-E, instead of love. However, you know, I know, we sometimes use the words like and love interchangeably. For example, if you like to eat ice cream, sometimes you say, I love ice cream. Filio really represents love among friends with similar interests. The last word that describes love is called agape, agape love. And we actually have a fellowship in Mandarin, it's called agape. It describes an unconditional love. It represents the love God has towards us, the sinners. Agape love is the nature of our God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and then the latter part of 16, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And then the latter part of 16, verse 16, it says, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them." Many times, some of us, and most of us, regard love as a feeling or a brief emotion. Sort of, now, especially for the younger folks, it's like an emotion or feeling. In fact, God's love towards man is not only a feeling, but also an action. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. What did he do? He died on the cross for us. It is an action. It's not just the words. Agape love is not only a feeling or an emotion, but more importantly, it is an action. The easiest way to explain God's love towards us is to look at the price that he paid to save our sin. Talk is cheap. Feeling may be fleeting and transient. God loves us so much that he showed his love by sending his only Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it did not just say what love is. Chapter 13 talks about what agape love leads a person to do. This verse, I'm sure most of you are very familiar with. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. In chapter 13, there are 15 action words. Patience and kindness are the positive action words. And then follow by 8 negative action words. This morning, I will only touch on 2 positive action words. Because these 2 words are really actions, we can actually translate them into love exhibits patience, and love manifests kindness. As I said, I don't know anything in Greek. You know how I get these words? Go to, that's what the beauty of the software is. You go to Bible Gateway, you click NIV, and then you go to Greek. And then you just copy and paste, and here it is. What does it mean when the scripture says love exhibits patience? Patience, as I said, when we translate, it not only is, but actually exhibits and demonstrates. Patience as an action word or as a verb come from the Greek word macrothumia. I probably just did not pronounce correctly. Macrothumia means long suffering. You all know the word macro means long, big, broad. It's just the opposite of micro. Microchips, microwave, small. The word thermia comes from the word thermos, thermal bottle, which means passion and heat. It describes the material used to start a fire in the old days. They don't have the fancy electric lighter or the mattress. Macrothermia means it takes a long time to start a fire. In the Bible here, it is used to describe somebody with a very, very good temper. You hit Brother Joe on the left side, he'll turn the right side for you. You try to irritate him, he never loses his temper. It is just the opposite of those who has a short temper. Macrothermia is used to describe one's patience towards another human being. Macrothermia is not used to describe patience towards a material or an object. Some of you here may be very patient when you play your video games. I know the guys who are very patient working on their cars, but on the other hand, they're not so patient to your siblings, to your spouse, or even to your good friends. When your younger brother comes to disturb you, what do? Get out of here. In the Paul's era, the Pharisees insist on law of compensation. In other words, how other people treat you is how I will treat the other people. If somebody are nice to you, I'll be nice to them. If you are mean to me, if Brother Joe Chan is mean to me, although he's never mean, I'll be even meaner to him. An eye for eye, a tooth for tooth. Therefore, when Jesus taught to love our enemies, he was considered to be one of the radical. That's why they hated him so much. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 and 39, it said, "You have heard eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right, turn them to the other cheek." A verse I'm sure that you have heard millions of times. Do you still remember Ivana Trump? If you don't remember Ivana Trump, you probably have heard a big mouth guy by Donald Trump, wealthy guy. Ivana Trump was his first wife. When Ivana Trump was divorcing Donald Trump, she was dumped, a TV reporter asked, "Are you angry? What are you going to do?" Ivana said, "Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Get even. Get everything." Meaning, you know, Donald Trump has a lot of money, so take all his money. Some of the teachers will even teach us to be preemptive. What does that mean? That means if you think Brother Joe Chan is going to be mean to me, I actually try to preempt that to be mean to him first. If I figure that he was going to strike me, I'm going to strike him first, knock him down before he is able to knock me. Although I wouldn't try that. He's pretty strong. That is the teaching of the world. Therefore, when our Lord Jesus commands us to be patient and tolerant, he also teaches us not to revenge. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, Apostle Paul told Romans, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone." Being patient describes a person who has been wrong somebody did something bad to him or her, chooses not to revenge, even when he or she has the power, capability, and authority to do so. In the Old Testament, a story that we are all very familiar with, Joseph. He was sold by his older brothers, right? And you know what? After a time, because of the famine, his brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. By that time, Joseph was the prime minister. He literally could do anything within his power to his 10 brothers. If I were him, good. I may forgive, but never forget. Remember what you did to me. But Joseph clearly did not do that. He forgave them. He said, that's God's will that I be sent before you did. However, in Paul's days, Joseph's action would be regarded as weaklings. Only the weak do that type of thing. If you have the opportunity, strike back. If we rely on our own flesh, there's no way we, at least I, will be able to restrain myself from revenging. So eye for eye, tooth for tooth is natural. If we want to be able to turn the other cheek when somebody strikes you on one side, we will have to rely on the work of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, which we'll come to later on again, one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Having the discipline not to strike back when after you got hit is the true strength and power. I don't know whether you have read President Abraham Lincoln's biography. In one of the chapters, it described one of his political rivals. His name is Mr. Edwin Stanton. For a period of time before Lincoln was elected, Mr. Stanton called Abraham Lincoln a clown in circus and a original gorilla. I mean, for those who have seen the pictures of Abraham Lincoln, he has very angular facial features. Abraham Lincoln never talked back. And after Lincoln was elected the president, he even appointed Mr. Stanton to be the Secretary of Defense. His friends then asked President Lincoln why he would appoint somebody who was so mean to him and ridicule him so badly. You know what President Lincoln said? He said, Mr. Stanton is the best qualified person to hold that position. The night when Lincoln was murdered, Mr. Stanton, standing by Lincoln's bedside, and tearfully said, here lies the world's greatest leader. As you can see, love turns President Lincoln's former enemy to be an admirer and a friend. God teaches us to love our enemy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. But the last one, it says, be patient with everyone, the weak, the strong, the lovables, and not lovables. It is clearly somewhat easier to be patient towards those who are lovable. Why do you think that most of the mothers will not kill their babies, so their baby's always cranky? That's because they're so lovables. Have you ever seen how patient a mother can be when teaching the baby to take the first step, to walk? Likewise, for the guys can be very patient towards their girlfriends when they are dating. But after they get married, the first year might be okay. Then you waited a few years, and there are some of the married ladies here. Then the patience starts to wear off a little bit. Macrothermia. This type of patience is not what the scripture talks about. Macrothermia is patience towards those who are not lovable. Those people who complain all the time. I don't know whether you know anybody. You probably, your friends are perfect, never complain. Some of my former colleagues in St. Louis, so I can talk here because they're in St. Louis, right? When there are cloudy days, they say, oh, gloomy. When the sky is Carolina blue without a cloud, they say, oh, too shiny, blinds my eyes. There are also people who are irresponsible or unreliable. They will say, oh yeah, I'll do this, I'll come at this time. The time comes to never show up. And I'm sure for the students, if you do a group project, everybody got assignment. And when the deadline hits, you know what? Somebody will call you, I'm sorry, I got something. I forgot to do my part. You say, I was supposed to get an A. Now, you didn't do your part, we're gonna get a C. And my parents are gonna, won't be happy, especially for the Chinese parents. Apostle Paul teaches us, if we want to exhibit agape love, we must have patience towards everyone. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for all of us. Not just for those who are lovables, but for everyone. Agape love is not only exhibiting patience towards unlovables. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Apostle said, love also demonstrates kindness. Patience and kindness are complementary. Patience is more passive, whereas kindness is more active. Patience endures all. With kindness, you give everything away that you have generously. You can be extremely patient, but show no kindness. You'll ask, how can that be? Well, I'll give you an example. The easiest way to exhibit patience is to avoid somebody. If I see Uncle Don coming this way, if I don't like him, fortunately I love him, as a brother, I go the other way. So we'll never have any interaction. However, Paul not only taught us to exhibit patience, he also told us that agape love demonstrates kindness. In order to show kindness to somebody, you must interact. We have to interact with that person. How else are you going to demonstrate kindness if you don't even have any interaction with that person? Kindness goes way beyond just smiling and shaking somebody's hands in the hallway between our two worship services, which I do a lot, say hi to people. Kindness implies, even if someone insults me or hurt me, I'm still kind. We not only exhibit patience, but also act kindly towards that person. That is the true meaning when Jesus said, love your enemy. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, Paul said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Are you surprised by what Paul said? How can a heap burning coals on your enemy's head be a kind thing to do? Sounds like revenge and punishment to me. Have you ever tried to put burning coals on your head? Let me explain. In those days, as I said, there was no match. There was no fancy electric lighter. So if you want to cook rice or keep the house warm, what you have to do, you have to use burning coals. If you don't have any burning coals at your house, what you do? You go to your next door neighbor to borrow some. To carry those burning coals, obviously you don't put directly on your head, you put in a basin. And then you carry the basin on top of your head. And then you walk home. Since there were no Model T or the automobiles, and furthermore, the houses in those days were a little farther apart than some of the subdivisions that houses that we have in the subdivisions in Cary and Chapel Hill. So, if the neighbor was not generous, if you come and borrow, he only gives you one or two pieces of burning coals. By the time I go home, the burning coals will be either cold or extinguished. It doesn't do any good. Have you ever tried to? No, I'm sure that young people always go picnic. Although nowadays, the picnic's easy. Everything is you got gas in there. When I was growing up, and I'm sure Uncle Don had the same experience, in those days, when you go picnic, you really go picnic. You have to actually cut the tree branches and start a fire. That's not easy. So if your neighbor was sort of, not very good to you, only give you one or two and you go home and the fire's already extinguished, it would take a long, long time to start a fire, right? That's what this means, is the neighbor is kind. Heap the burning coals, meaning give the neighbor who is borrowing a lot of burning coals. So when he or she goes home, she can restart the fire right away so it won't go hungry or the house will not be cold for many times. You know, if your neighbor is a nice guy or a nice lady, then it won't be so difficult to give them a bucket of burning coals. I don't know about you, I happen to live in a neighborhood, some of the neighbors, they are nice people, they have beautiful dogs, but you know what? They walk the dog twice a day, and whenever they walk passing my lawn, whether my lawn needs fertilizer or not, the dog always either pees or defecate on it. I scratch my head, is why? If one of those guys come and she wants some burning coals, you know where I would put the burning coals? I wouldn't give into the bucket. I'll put inside his shirt. Got burned a little bit. Golden opportunity to revenge. But the Bible clearly teaches us to demonstrate kindness to our enemies as well. If we want to channel God's love and kindness, we must be willing to sacrifice ourselves. deny ourselves and demonstrate kindness to the strangers and enemies alike. In the second century, the pagans saw the love of Christians. So they changed the name Christian, Christiani, meaning followers of Christ, by changing an I to E, which is Christiani, made of kindness. It's because they saw the Christians are very kind, not only to those who are lovable, but also to those unlovables. Would non-Christians know that you and I, whether in our workplace, whether in our school, whether in the playgrounds, that we are Christians based on our deeds? As I said, talk is cheap. How can we develop patience, kindness? It clearly doesn't come naturally, at least in my case. The doctors are pretty impatient people. Everything has to be done perfect right now. If we depend on our own old self, at least I will not be able to achieve the patience and the kindness as mentioned by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I really try, put on my best behavior, I might be a little bit more patient towards those who I love, but never towards those who I really dislike, and especially those who hurt me previously or beat me in something. No. We never like to lose, right? Only by the work of Holy Spirit will we ever be able to demonstrate extreme patience and utmost kindness. As you all know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you wish to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you must learn how to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have now have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." For those of you who receive correspond with Pastor Bowen via the email, he attached this verse in his emails. This verse also reminds me of stem cell transplant. A lot of you may not have heard what stem cell transplant. More people know what bone marrow transplant is. Do you know what a doctor has to do before a patient can receive somebody else's bone marrow cells or stem cells is what they're really getting at? First of all, the doctors had to use chemotherapy, which is a fancy word for poisons. Chemotherapeutic drugs are poisons. They have to use industrial doses. And in some cases, they even have to use total body radiation. Why do they do that? The intent is to kill all the cells in the patient's body before they can give the donor's cells, whether it's a related donor, unrelated, or a baby's cells. If, for some reason, the old cells in the patient's body did not get totally wiped out, you know what that will happen? The old cells will keep fighting against the donor cells. and the disease will not be cured. That all sounds very abstract. However, in our case, and I got the permission to use this, you know, the young sister, praise God that Sarah actually went through all of this. When she had the disease, before the doctors give her the cord blood, which is basically the baby's, the newborn's cells, before they can give it to her, they, if you want to know more detail, you can, she'll share with you. They had to use chemo, wipe every single cell in her body before they can give her the new cells. As a matter of fact, her blood type has changed. Now, the cells living her are the donor cells, not her original disease cells. And that's why her leukemia has been cured. Praise the Lord. Likewise, in order for us to develop the type of patience and kindness described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, our old sinful nature must be nailed to the cross and let God take control over every aspect of our lives. To let God control you, your thoughts and your deeds, we must be obedient to God's words, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and pray daily for God to empower us. If you're not close to God daily, how would He be able to lead you daily? I know that most of you have gone to orthodontics. Your parents pay lots of money so that you have perfect teeth straight. I don't know about you. One of my twin daughters went, did the same thing. But she didn't like to put on retainers at nighttime. You know what happened? If you don't put the retainers on, month after month, become years, the teeth got crooked again. If we don't come close to God every moment of life, daily, how are you going to ask God to lead you? Furthermore, if you would like to develop patience and kindness, you will encounter difficulties. So make sure you're ready for what you pray and what you ask. If you pray to God that gives you patience, God will let you encounter people you really dislike, or sometimes might even hate the person. If not, how are you going to develop patience? How are you going to practice and exhibit kindness? So, you must be psychologically prepared to totally rely on God's grace and power, and pray that you'll be obedient to the leading and equipping of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I can assure you, at least in my case, it is impossible to achieve such a selfless love, which is patience and kindness. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul teaches Christians in the Corinthian church, and the same lesson applies to you and me, that we must demonstrate the agape love in everyday life. Agape love comes from God Almighty. It is a sacrificial love. Love those who are not lovable. Agape love is not just a little feeling or emotion. It is what you do. It's only after our old self has died, just like Sarah's old blood cells have been wiped out, and only when we yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit it doesn't help Sarah if we wipe out all her old cells and then it doesn't give her the new baby cells, the healthy cells. So you can be dead to your sin, except if you don't have the Holy Spirit live in you and guide you, will not do good. If we exhibit agape love in our daily living, we will then attract non-believers to learn more about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I believe, and I was told, Christine actually told me, praise the Lord that we have three congregations. 2 weeks ago, I spoke in Cantonese of a different sermon, and I chose some of the lighter songs, and song leader looked at me and said, what is this? We old folks can't sing this. So today I chose this, and I think some more mature people in the audience may know, is this hymn which says, they will know we are Christians by our love. Let us conclude our worship service today by saying this hymn together. May God give us the willingness to yield to Him starting today so that we can channel His agape love in this broken world. And having a person with the gray hair, the younger folks might even get a chance to learn more traditional songs. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have modeled for us. Because of your love, you have sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Pray that these words not only be just a head knowledge, but that will transform our lives so that we can truly be the salt and the light of this world. And may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you till we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.